and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth for ever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 38, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 38, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 11. But first we will confess our faith with the words of the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We repeat the scripture reading, Genesis 11, from verse 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them truly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray together. Lord, that we may consider in this evening hour where we come from and where we are traveling to. Because by nature we are so blind in which way we are going. O Lord, open our eyes if we travel on the broad way, because we are then in an incredible danger. And thy divine word is so honest, O Lord, but since we have believed the liar in paradise, we don't believe the truth anymore. O Lord, open our blind eyes, that we may see the reality of our deep fall and what thou hast done to save lost sinners, and what thou hast revealed in thy holy word, that we may become to the true saving knowledge in Christ, not to escape hell, not to enter into heaven, but only to thy honor and for thy name's sake. Lord, be with the sick and afflicted, be with the people which country are overtaken by an earthquake. O Lord, thy footsteps can be heard in it, and that it may lead to true conversion for many of them and of us, because we are not better than them. O Lord, bless the widows and the earth and the orphans, bless them and provide what they need, not only in bread and water, but above all with a true faith in Christ. O Lord, that thou may send servants in thy kingdom, because the fields are ready to harvest, but the workers are few. Be with us in speaking and listening. Open thy word for our hearts, and our hearts for thy word. O Lord, that will be an eternal wonder, because we speak not the language by nature, the language, the spiritual language, and we cannot understand most of the people in the world. They speak another language because of our sin. We have sinned in Babel, O Lord. We have built a tower there, and from there we are scattered over the earth, and all the people of the world in different countries speak their own language. O Lord, thou can reach them, because thou word is one language, the spiritual language of the word, O Lord, that it may reveal in this evening in our hearts the language of Canaan, the spiritual language of Canaan, that we may understand it by the Holy Spirit. Open thy words for it, and open our hearts for it, Lord, that we may hear thee, not the preacher, but thy words spoken out of thy mouth. Lord, be with us in speaking and listening, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, the text for this evening hour you can find in the scripture read in Genesis 11, verse 9, where it says, "And therefore was its name called Babel, because Jehovah there was confounded the language of the whole earth, and Jehovah scattered them thence over the face of the whole earth." The congregation, as a preparation for the preaching, we will sing. First, we will sing Psalm 8, verses 1 and 4. Psalm 8, verses 1 and 4.
Oh,
Beloved, with the help of the Lord, we wish to think about our journey from paradise to Bible. With the help of the Lord and with the help of four thoughts, our journey from paradise to Babel. Four thoughts. One, the creation. Two, the fall. Three, the flood. And four, the confounding of the language at Babel. Congregation, there has been a time without sin and without enmity against God. And in that time, the first man walks with God as his friend with a great task, namely to rule over the world, to till it and to guard it. Yeah, that was a great time. In the beginning there was no sin, no death, no pain, no tribulation, no affliction, no weariness, no war. No, there was only happiness, holiness, peace, and eternal life. And the Lord created the world perfectly. And the first created people, Adam and Eve, were created in God's image. So they were perfect as well, and they live in perfect obedience according to the will of God. And Adam and Eve had nothing to do to earn eternal life because they had eternal life in God the Creator. But in paradise there was one condition, one command. It was forbidden to eat from the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God had said to them, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt surely die. Yeah, I hear somebody say, yes, but we know all that already. Is that right? No, I don't think so. If you believe the truth of the words that God has spoken to Adam and Eve about the forbidden tree and the punishment in case of trespassing, it is impossible that you can live a life of peace with an horizon of eternal happiness. No, then you have no life, no rest, no future anymore. And all head knowledge about the truth is too short for eternity. And we need to be convinced what we have done in paradise, my beloved, and in what terrible state we are. If that becomes true, and we believe the word of God as the only truth on earth, and then we see ourselves in the mirror of the law as lost sinners, condemned sinners, who only deserve nothing but hell. And beloved, do you really believe what God has said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, verse 17? And that command is trespassed by us. And its punishment has to come. And by nature we all under the wrath of God, under the law, and there is no escape from eternal destruction except if we are found in Christ by justification and regeneration. Yeah, when the Lord converts us, beloved, then he gives us a new heart. And then we will find out how sure and reliable God's word is. And the Lord himself says of his word that no title nor jot shall fall of what is written in his word. And that means that neither dot nor comma, so nothing, not even a punctuation mark shall fall of the word of God, of His word. So everything that is in the word of God, each letter is as reliable as God Himself. For the Lord only speaks the truth. And we can't say this of ourselves, can we? Yeah, it is about 6,000 years ago. We should speak the truth. We could speak the truth when we were in the state of righteousness, and the state of peace in paradise. And then we could not lie. Then everything was in holy harmony according to God, to His will. And the Lord God had first created the heavens and the earth, and also the celestial bodies, like the sun, the moon and the stars. But before the Lord created those heavenly bodies, the world was empty, for it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But the Lord went on, because He made everything on the earth in such a way that there came a difference between light and darkness. And spiritual life, it becomes the same. By nature we live in outer darkness, and when the Lord shine upon us and shine in us, in our hearts, then sin will be discovered. And the Lord called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And after that, God created everything that lives and moves, like trees, the grass, but also the seas and the dry land, the fishes in the sea and the herbs on the earth. Now finally, God also created man. Now who was the first man? Yeah, everyone knows that was Adam. So Adam, the man, Adam, was in paradise first. And the Lord had a reason for that. The Lord created everything in His own order. And remember as well, this comes back in God's word time and again. And Adam was made first, then Eve. First the man, and then the woman. And with Adam the Lord made a covenant, namely the covenant of creation. Not the covenant of works, because the covenant of works can only stand by law. And the law was not yet revealed in paradise, only one commandment. So Adam was head of the creation. He was not the creator, but he was, the Lord put him as a ruler over the creation. He was the main responsible person on earth. And he was accountable to God for everything God had put him over. And the Lord God had also given him a commandment to try his obedience. He was created after God's image, no, in God's image, in true knowledge, righteousness and holiness. And you know the commandment was of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, what we have said already. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And in paradise there were many fruit trees, full, the paradise was full of fruit trees, But in the midst of the garden, there was a tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of that tree, which was also full of fruits, God had said, if you eat from it, then you shall surely die. And that was not a difficult commandment, for there were so many delicious fruit trees in the garden that Adam and Eve had more than enough to eat. So there was a holy harmony between God and his creatures in paradise. There was a holy harmony between God and people. And Adam and Eve lived in a holy communion with the Lord. There was no sin, no unrighteousness that separated them from the Lord. Yeah, and this was quite something. That was a glorious state there in paradise, a glorious state. And therefore, we call this the state of righteousness. Don't forget this. Man was bearer of God's image. But still, it is necessary that you know this biblical truth, for man has been created with an immortal soul. And therefore, it is most important that you know the truth of God's word. Because we are traveling to an eternal destination, my beloved. To hell or to heaven. There is not a third way. And by nature, we are traveling on the broad way to eternal destruction. Remember. And the scripture is honest and tell us something terrible that we have done, that we have to know. By nature we want to know only good things, pleasure. But we have to know something terrible. Not only by head knowledge, but by heart. Now Eve became disobedient and ate from the tree whereof God had commanded that they should not eat. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Yeah, but Eve did it all the same. Awful, wasn't it? And then there was the terrible fall. For Eve listened to the devil, who seduced her to eat from the tree, from the forbidden tree. And she acted against the will of God, as she took of the forbidden fruit and also gave Adam of it. Yeah, so Eve was double disobedient. For firstly, she acted against God's will and fell in disobedience, but she was also disobedient to her head, namely Adam, her husband. Eve was not the head of her husband, no. It was the other way around. And God had said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. An help meet for him. So woman was been created for man and not man for woman. And Adam, as the head of the natural government of covenant, was also head over his wife. And that was a holy order of God, a holy order of creation in paradise. But also after the fall, that order stands forever. God the head of Christ, Christ the head of man, and man the head of the woman. Now Eve had not the impression of having to take an inferior place. Now she fully agreed with it. Adam and Eve lived in a holy harmony with God and also with each other. Yeah, but the bad happening in heaven took place. And there was an angel who rebelled against God, and that angel has been thrown out of heaven. And in that beautiful paradise, my beloved, in that garden of peace and holiness, the devil came in the form of a snake, in the form of a serpent. And when the serpent started speaking to Eve, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. Because Eve listened to the devil who came to her, hidden in a serpent. And then Eve chose herself a different head by listening to the devil and obeying him. And when he seduced Eve, the devil, with these words, listen, he said, "Yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He didn't say, "God had said," no. He turned it around in a question. So the devil tries to make Eve doubt what God had said. The devil is so subtle, beloved, that we cannot resist him in our own strength. It's impossible. Eve shouldn't have listened to the devil, but she should have refused to talk with him, or have referred to Adam, her head, her husband. For he was responsible, he was the responsible person in the natural government. But before we go on, we shall conclude this topic of the creation by pointing out to you once more how God has created us well, and that we have fallen in Adam, our federal head, and that God is very angry with the fallen sinner. For God requires his image back from every one of us. And our fall is so terrible, beloved, that without Christ we'll never be able to get out of it anymore. Never. And now for a moment we have dealt with the creation from which it appears that God is the creator of all that lives. And he will judge the creature, man, who has sinned, with a righteous judgment, with a threefold death: temporal, spiritual, and eternal death. And that is what God has said in Genesis 2, verse 17. You wouldn't like to die, would you? No, nobody wants to die. So the thought of not having to die is not to be marveled at all. For man, also you and I, has not been created in order to die, but to live. To the honor of our Creator, to the honor of God. And now we'll ask you an honest question. Give an honest answer, please. And the question sounds: do you live to the honor of God? Do I live to the honor of God? You may never have stopped to ask that question, but now that you have read of creation and realize something of our existence, then in paradise we could give God the honor of everything, 24 hours a day. But through our sin, death has come into the world. And now we must die because we don't live to the honor of God anymore. What is your question now? What is your answer to the question now? Do you live to the honor of God? Someone may answer, "But I do my best, I give everyone his due, and I am never disobedient to my parents, I." Yeah, and then there is a big list of so-called good works. But that is not living to the honor of God, my dear. Let us listen to what the Lord God himself says in his word. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that's what God has said. That is what God has said. But man has eaten indeed. Well, then God must execute the punishment threatened, for his holiness requires this. For if God condones sin, then God is no God anymore, but an idol. Now, there are many idols in our days, especially in our evil heart. But God's justice requires that man who has sinned must pay the price for it. And no man can escape that punishment, though everybody tries to. But it is to our own fault that we are subjects to a threefold death, namely bodily death, spiritual death, and eternal death, as a punishment for sin. But we hear to say, are we all creatures guilty of death without hope? Listen well. Yes or no? We are guilty of death, that's for sure. And our state into which we have fallen is certainly hopeless. But now we will open the Bible at Genesis 3 verse 9, where we read, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now that's quite something. That God looks for his fallen creature. Where art thou? And the Lord could have whipped us away with the besom of his righteousness, but God wants to have his creature back. Yeah. And what have we become? Hopeless cheats, dangerous liars, who want to live a sham life. And for after Adam had listened to Eve and had chosen Eve to be his head, his head was God himself. And then he wanted to hide himself, and God asked him where he was. Now look, that's what man has become. He wants to hide his sin from an all-knowing God. And Adam and Eve, and we with them, wanted to cover themselves with the fig leaves of self-righteousness, with coverings of, mention it. And what are you entangled in? In sin, in the world, in self-made religion, which the Lord doesn't recognize? But the Lord seeks his creature, and that's quite something. Yeah, in church we meet people sometimes who say, I seek the Lord every day. I pray every day. But in my Bible it says, there is not the man that understands, there is not one that seek after God, all have gone out of the way, they have together become unprofitable, there is not one that practices goodness, there is not so much as one, their throats is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, asps poison is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, swift their feet to shed blood, ruin and misery are in their ways, and way of peace they have not known, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, what do you want to say about this? And do you understand why God asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Do you understand it? I don't understand it. Beloved, there is no creature who seeks after God. We are all gone aside. We are all together become filthy before God, our Maker. Nothing good can be said about man anymore after the fall. Nothing at all. But do you believe this? Do you feel this? For your conscience sides with God, mind you. Your conscience sides with God. And whether you live in sin or whether you live a decent life, in your own opinion, your conscience still speaks. And when you do something that God has forbidden, your conscience accuses you, if you have not searched with an hot iron. If it not is, how do I say it? Seared with an hot iron. That's also possible. Oh yeah, that's also possible. Especially in our days. But bow your knees even today and ask, cry to God to perform a miracle in you and convert you from the evil way, so that your sins may be forgiven. God is coming with his wrath. God is coming with his punishment. But the lot is necessary to make a man bow his knees before God. A man is so awfully proud that he rather throws the guilt on somebody else. And then get on his knees before God as one guilty of that. No? Adam did. He said to his Maker, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of this tree, and I did eat." And Adam thought, "I'm not that bad, but Eve, yes, she is awfully bad. And she is the cause that I've sinned." And actually Adam blamed God for he said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me." Now that was impudent of Adam. Yeah. And that's what man is like, proud and conceited and impudent against the Most High Majesty. But fortunately, confession of guilt is not left out, for Adam says, I did eat. That was upright. That was an upright confession. And after that, Eve is also interrogated by the Lord, and he said to her, "What is this that thou hast done?" And Eve doesn't blame herself either, but she blames the devil for her disobedience. You know what she said? She says, "The serpent beguiled me." Now, oh beloved, what a great liar man has become since we have fallen in with the father of lies. And that's what what God's word calls Satan also, but also from Eve the upright confession comes, "And I did eat." But first he puts the blame on the devil. And in the framework of real conviction, then it is revealed what was revealed with Adam and Eve also, namely, that woman has done it, or the devil is the cause of all our misery. But the Holy Spirit continues conviction until the sinner must admit his guilt and be willing to confess, "I have eaten, I have done that which is evil in thy sight, and therefore I am doubly worthy of thy wrath." And that is the effect of the Lord's arresting you, and then you will justify the punishment of your sin. But a confession of guilt as such doesn't bring a man in an inch closer to his salvation, to his deliverance. For we must be saved. And otherwise it won't be good in our lives. And nobody but God himself can deliver us from everlasting perdition. Yeah. Now after cursing the devil, God opens a new covenant with Adam? No, not with Adam anymore. That is impossible. No. The new covenant, the covenant with the first Adam, was broken forever. But the Lord established a covenant for Adam, in his son Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And that is what we call the covenant of grace. And then he gives Adam and Eve a promise. We call it the mother of promises. You can read it in Genesis 3 verse 15. And God promises, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that means that God announces judgment against the devil, for the seed of the woman shall be the promised Messiah. And he shall bruise the devil's head. So the Son of Man, who is at the same time the Son of God, shall commence the struggle between the devil and the seed of the woman. And he shall be victorious over death, the threefold death, hell and grave, the world, the devil, and damnable flesh. And that's what God promises here to Adam and Eve. Yeah, it's important to know. It's only through free grace, because of Christ's shedding of blood on Calvary, that Adam and Eve have received remission of sins. And if you want to be saved, then you have to go to Calvary, to the cross of Christ. To Christ himself, to a dying Savior who is willing to pay with his own blood for all your sins, and has paid if you believe in him, and who bore away the sins of the world into a sea of everlasting oblivion. But we don't want to go to Calvary, for there the lost sinner expects his death. Yeah, and we should have hanged there on the cross, and not only that, but we should have gone down forever into eternal perdition. But now, listen, God has thought of a way of deliverance in the silent eternity, and even then God had thoughts of peace about his fallen elect creatures. And that's what he offers to everyone in the proclamation of the gospel of free grace. We have preached about it a couple weeks ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we have preached not a couple weeks ago, but last Sunday. And it doesn't mean that every man will be saved, no. But it does signify that man, whosoever he or she may be, will get lost if he doesn't heed the unconditional offer of the gospel. It will be his or she his own fault. For the Lord Jesus was willing to be mediator between a damnable sinner and a righteous and holy God. And Christ is willing to redeem lost sinners with his own blood. There is blood enough So the Son of God has come for that, to save lost sinners. And do you know who Christ also redeemed with his own blood? Look to Abel, the youngest son of Adam and Eve. Cain was the first son, you know, the oldest son. Yeah, but mostly with the oldest sons, it goes in the wrong way. Eh? But his mother Eve thought that Cain was the Lord Jesus. For Eve had said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She thought, he is the promised Messiah. But yeah, how disappointed she was, eh? Cain proved to be a murderer of his brother. And both boys brought sacrifices to the Lord. But the Lord didn't accept Cain's offering, only accepted Abel's offering. For Abel feared the Lord with a childlike faith. And Cain didn't fear the Lord, he brought his offering in pride. But Abel brought his offering in humility, with a broken heart, because of his fall and sin debt. Yeah, and Cain also saw that the smoke of Abel's offering rose up to heaven, and that the smoke of his offering went down to the earth. Yeah, and it made Cain angry, full of envy. And you know the history, but one day his envy was so great that he slew his brother Abel. Now what is man, what is man? What can be praised in him? For Cain's nature is in the heart of all of us, mind you. Am I my brother's keeper? That is our language. By nature. That's our language. And it's a miracle of God's preserving grace that Cain's nature doesn't burst out into an act. For murderers, we are all by nature. And then to remember, beloved, that the Lord Jesus suffered and prayed for murderers. Do you understand this? I don't understand. Yeah, by grace, but not by nature. For when the murderer on the cross cried for mercy, he got saving grace after all, even though it was in the last minute of his life. He went to heaven to praise God forever. Now, young people in our midst, never despair of God, never despair of Christ, but do despair of self. Bend your knees before it is too late, and cry and beseech God for mercy and grace. Or aren't you troubled by your sin? For we are sinners from head to toe. And giving consent to the truth with your mind is not enough to live in comfort and die and go to heaven. But then it is necessary that the wonder of free grace that Abel has received is applied to all our hearts. Personally. Personally. For if we die like Cain, then we are definitely lost forever. For Cain had no need of grace, and he denied the saving power of the blood of Christ. He says, "My sins are bigger that the Lord forgive them. My sins are too big," he said. Dus he denies the saving power of the blood of Christ. And oh my unconverted pilgrim to the eternity, do seek your God now, so that you may be saved through free grace and God may receive the honor in your life. Christ is willing to wash the blackest sinner in his own blood. So cry for forgiveness right now, and there is hope for dead sinners. You know what Christ has said? And he's still saying, "Very, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live." So, Wait for him. He is the true Savior for total lost sinners. He is waiting for you. He is the Redeemer. He gave his life for dead sinners. Do you understand that? No, it is not to be understood by brains, by head knowledge, no. No. He turns enemies in his friends. Now you have to be the Lord Jesus to do that. He lost enemies to save them with his own blood. But first we have to sing. Psalm 143. Psalm 143, verse 7. The flood. And now we have arrived at the story of Noah. To come to our last point. And we do hope that this story may be a means to make you realize how terrible sin is, with its consequence, with its consequences, but also how great the grace is that God gives to a world lost in sin debt. For God inundated the earth because of the sin and the unrighteousness of mankind. But he gracefully preserved Noah and his seven relatives. After the creation, people multiplied on earth. But the Lord also saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And he says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now that's what the Lord must say of all of us. And oh beloved, what a wonder it is that we may still be in time, in the time of grace. For we must never think that we are better than the people in the days of Noah. No. For it also holds true for each of us young people in our midst, you too, what it says in Genesis 6 verse 5, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's our evil heart. But the Lord provided for Noah an escape. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Of Noah it is said, Noah walked with God. Just like Enoch, Noah was granted to lead a life very close to the Lord, to the Most High God. And oh beloved, the Lord is worthy that all of us should live with the Lord like Enoch and Noah. You may say, is it possible then? Yes, it is possible. By justification and regeneration, by faith only. But many, many people have proudly turned their backs to God, also in Noah's days. But he who forsakes God has reason to fear all kinds of miseries. And that we might redeem the time as the day are evil, but no, man goes his own way, and he has his own way. But he doesn't realize that his way is a way to eternal perdition, for the end of all flesh is death, it says. And then our way will be gone forever. And if we are not born again, we shall not be able to enter in the kingdom of God. So the earth was full of evil, and that's why God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's finally the righteous sentence of sin and the sinner, if he do not return to the living God. And Noah got an order from the Lord to build an ark, for God would send a flood of waters on the earth, wherein is the bread of life. But then the Lord tells Noah that he would establish a covenant with him. And then Noah receives further the directions from God, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. Of all animals, also the fowls in the air, the male and the female, had to go in the ark. And Noah built an ark and did as the Lord had ordered him to do. Noah was obedient to the Lord. And Noah needed about 120 years to get the ark ready. Now that's a long time, yeah. But in those 120 years, Noah did another thing. He preached to the ungodly people who mocked at him because he built such a big ark on dry land. Now then, he must be a big fool. Is he not, people said to each other? He must be a big fool to build an ark on the dry land. What is that for a fool? And just imagine that one day one should start building a huge ship on a piece of land in our neighborhood. What would you say to that man? What would you say to each other about that man? Would you mock that man also? Be honest. So you see, the evil of those people in Noah's days, that is in our blood. But you will say, at least if you may know the history, God will not destroy the earth through a flood anymore. Yeah, that's true, right? But then you don't understand the example well, for the Lord says in his word that he will destroy the earth through fire. So when someone in your neighborhood gets converted, he will also start building an ark. Now someone say, now you speak in riddles. Or is there anybody among you who understands a little of it, what we mean? Look here, beloved, of course we don't mean that he will literally build an ark, but he will go into a spiritual ark, which doesn't mean anything but believing in Christ Jesus alone. And you know, many people will also mock at it, because there are many who don't see anything miserable in the Savior, for they have never learned to realize their lost state before God. And it was no different in the days of Noah, for there was not one that turned to God from his or her evil way. So, yeah, we can say Noah had preached for nothing. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. God's word says somewhere else. Yeah, I often thought that I'm preaching for nothing. But I have to preach before God. And if he have not repented under the preaching of the gospel of free grace, then judgment will surely be terrible. But the Lord still invites black sinners, small and great, old and young. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And hasten to the ark, hurry, only in the blood of Jesus will you find rest for your souls. And the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." That's quite something, eh? Noah was one of whole the multitude of people with his relatives. He was elect to go in the ark. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, and the Lord shut him in. Noah didn't share the ark. God himself shut him in. That's how it always is. That's also in true conversion. When you may go into Christ by a true faith, you will never fail. You will never fall out of Christ. You will never fall out of the ark. It is God, it is the Lord that opens, and no man shut it. And he shut it, and no man opened it. Noah couldn't get out anymore, and no creature could get in. And that's the way it will be with the coming of the New Testament ark. And the foolish virgins couldn't get in anymore, and the wise virgins couldn't get out anymore. The elect are saved forever, and those that despise God will be lost forever. Now, beloved, it doesn't matter how old you are, but if thou wouldest know, at least in this day, the things which belong unto peace, seek the Lord in the days of thy youth, before the evil day comes, illness, war, hunger, when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." For whoso findeth me, says the Lord, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And what he says is sure and cannot be broken. What the Lord says is sure. So Noah may trust in the Lord with his family, who has promised, "With thee I will establish my covenant." But for Noah it went through impossible ways. Therefore, when God promises something to a man or woman, then the promise is always fulfilled in a miraculous way, in an impossible way. So through the impossibility of our nature, God's children receive faith. But then it is a tried faith. Look to Noah. Yeah, there is a lot of faith in our days, but examine yourselves. Have I got a tried faith? A true faith? Has it ever become a total impossibility from my side? Have I ever seen the fulfillment of God's promises? Or do we always have the fulfillment of God's promises in our pockets? Now, if this is the case, then your faith will be proved to be a foolish virgin faith in the last day. And beloved, there is a people on earth that is continually given strife with this while of the evil, one that they have only a foolish virgin faith. And the prince of darkness often attacks God's people with these words, otherwise your life would be better. Otherwise your sins would trouble you more. If your conversion were real, that one would see more of it. But nothing is to be seen of it. And so he keeps fighting the true people of God. Yeah, undoubtedly Noah has had his strife in the days that he was building the ark, for sure. The devil has undoubtedly plagued Noah by means of the mockers. Man, do you really believe this? Do you really believe that the water will flood the land to make your huge boat sail? Now, people of God, the mockers will come, mind you, inside and outside, and perhaps the most in your heart. And when the time came that the ark had been finished, then the attacks inside must have been fiercest. For now he and his family had to get into that coffin. Coffin? Yeah. What do you think? With all these animals running around and spreading an unbearable stench. And if the Lord had not been the faithful one, Noah would have perished with his family. Oh yeah. But we read a wonder, eh? And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up upon the face of the waters. And what the blessing was for Noah was a curse for the people outside of the ark. For it is quite something to enter a ship of dry land, isn't it? But through all strife, which must surely have been there, for true faith is always attacked, and Noah was granted to hope in God through faith. For in the meantime the waters had covered the high places of the earth, and all living creatures had perished. And over all Asia, the ark floated on the billows of God's righteous wrath. But Noah and his family remained floating in the ark. And that is also the case spiritually. For in the last day it will appear that God's elect have gone into the ark Christ, the New Testament ark. But the fearful, the unbelievers, the mockers, the whoremongers, superficial religion people may have walked close to the ark, sat and prayed in his presence, prophesied, they will perish through God's righteous judgment forever in the place where there will be groaning and gnashing of teeth. And God remembered Noah, it says. Yeah, for the Lord had promised, see, I make all things new. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Yeah, that's a promise when the last day has come and the waters went down, therefore God's judgment had been carried out in destroying the wicked. And God remembered Noah. Can you say this too, beloved, in your life? God has remembered me. And why did God remember Noah? Because God remembered his covenant. And the Lord had promised to Noah, with thee I shall establish my covenant. And now we should understand well that the covenant with Noah was of a temporary nature, as long as the earth would be, and the Lord would not destroy it through water. Nevermore. And with Noah the Lord make a covenant for man and animals on the earth. But in the sight of the covenant, the sign of the covenant, the rainbow, God's children often see God's eternal faithfulness. Because in the eternity the rainbow will be full around on the throne of God. And now we see on the horizon the half. The half of the rainbow. A part of it. For just as God's promises were fulfilled to Noah and his seed, and also to the living, to all living creatures on earth, as long as it will be, in the same way the Lord will also fulfill his promises in Christ. And that's why God's children see God's eternal faithfulness in the rainbow of God's covenant of grace. And magnifying God's faithfulness is also given by God, for it always comes after the salvation of the soul, delivered from the horrible pit and the miry clay. And then the Lord speaks. We have to do the Lord speaks, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. If you may know that the Lord has spoken this in your heart, you are forever delivered from eternal wrath. But now we enter into our last point, the confounding of the language. For it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And what was that language? I think it was Hebrew. And after the Lord had confirmed his covenant with Noah, Noah lived 350 years. His sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And you will probably know that the Jews are descendants of Shem. Father Noah had died at the blessed age. He had become 950 years old. Imagine. 950 years. Unbelievable. Noah was one of the oldest person who ever lived on earth. Almost 10 ages. But remember, 1,000 years is in the eyes of God as the same as one day. And one day as 1,000 years. And the families of the sons of Noah had spread on the earth after the flood, but at first they had tried to stay together. And however, God had ordered to Noah in Genesis 1 verse 9, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But Noah's descendants didn't heed his command. No, they preferred to stay together. And they didn't want to forsake each other. And we should think that these people were full of charity. That's a good thing. But charity without God is nothing but self-pity and seeking self to get profit from it. Does this ever trouble you? Or hasn't this terrible, deceitful heart never been discovered to you? Now we are so evil, beloved, that we don't realize our deep fall in Adam by nature. And in this story we see that which is in man, it will come out, for we start building a tower. We start building a tower. Why? Why do we want to build a tower? Yeah, our proud nature also wants to build towers. We all want to build towers. Everyone has his own tower. And Shelley mentioned such a tower, the tower of our self-willed religion. That's a tall tower. I think the tallest tower. And with all our church activities, we want to make us a name, lest we be scattered. We want to make us a name. And that's what Noah's descendants had in their mind. But that also lives in our heart, beloved. Mind you, we haven't overcome that yet. And still our deep fall, we have wanted nothing but to build towers, whose top may reach into heaven, so that we may trust God from his throne, and we may sit down on that throne to be equal with God and define ourselves what is good and evil. And we built our restored Reformed churches, also a tower. And every church that has a tower, pointed to heaven. But then God must get off his throne and be on it. Now look, beloved, you need not travel far for that, for Babel is inside, in my and your wicked heart. But God reigns, for he knows what he can expect from his creatures. God doesn't expect anything from us, but that we build towers. Politic towers, religion towers, towers of church names, towers of old father names, towers of happy clappy religion, and all kind of that stuff. But the Lord knows what to deal about it, how to blow down our self-made towers. The Lord has many arrows on his bow, for the Lord himself sees to it that his command are carried out. Look to the prophet Jonah when he went his own way. And we had better obey God in the way of repentance and faith, for then we would have more peace than that we would have to do what God wants, but then punished by God's hands, and however, all according to his plan. That's true, but that doesn't take away our guilt. That doesn't take away our guilt of obedience to God's command. For the Lord has said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And in our days we have a church on every corner of the street, and more pastors in one village than birds in the air. And every one of them speak a different language. And they had to scatter all over the earth to build and preserve it. Had to serve the heathen. Because the fields are ready to harvest. But no. They are all in the churches. 100 in one town. But it is against God's commandment. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But they like to build their own churches. More than to be persecuted with God's real people. And by nature we have built cities like Cain, equal to Sodom and Gomorrah. And churches like this. O earth, 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 hear the word of God. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And that's what the Lord promised to a lost soul, who cry for forgiveness, day and night. It is a battle, you know. Then the battle starts, then the battle starts. But the Lord Jesus is conqueror. He is the conqueror. He conquered the devil. He conquered the dead and the grave and the sin, the old man. And the Lord makes it true, for what goes out of his mouth is fixed and cannot be broken. When the Lord gave you that promise of Isaiah 55, what we have read, cannot be broken anymore in Christ. And the first Adam is fallen, but the second Adam is impossible. He was without sin. He was God and man together. And like the Lord confirmed his oath when Noah brought an offering to the Most High God after he had left the ark, and while the earth remained seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And so the Lord will assemble his people as long as the earth stands, from north, from south, from the east, from the west, out of white, brown, yellow and red nations, for they will come, led by divine light, in order to report the salvation of his righteousness. But are you included? Are you involved? You have to know it. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence, Babylon, Babel, upon the face of all the earth by confusing their speech. And they left off to build a city. They left off. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Yeah. For the people shall dwell alone and not be numbered among the nations, God's people. They cannot live together with heathen. To live with. And the Jews have been set apart by the Lord himself from generation of Sem, for to that nation the Lord wanted to confirm his covenant of grace. And that we have seen it already when Abram had to leave the ungodly Ur of the Chaldees. We have preached about it. Adam, Lot. The Lord calls Abram. Abram, get thee out. Can you fill in your own name, beloved? Peter, Klaas, Thomas, get thee out. And may the Lord call us out our ungodly state, out of the world, and that we may become seekers of a city, not made by hands, but forever in heaven. And may the Lord bless his own testimony to all of us. Amen. And let us finish by singing Psalter 105, verse 4, Psalter 105, verse 4, Psalm 105. Firm stand his word to Abram spoken, his oath to Isaac never broken, his everlasting covenant with Israel, God will not resent. He said to you, this land I give, that as my heirs you there may live. Psalm 105, verse 4. thank thee for thy precious word, but forgive everything in speaking and listening that it was not according to thy will. O Lord, we have to enter into the New Testament ark to save our souls. And give us no rest before we be found in Christ. He is the only Savior. O Lord, revive us and revive all thy people, because we became like earthly bottles. And the world cannot be jealous of us, and not be jealous to us, if we not bear the image of Christ. O Lord, that we may be or become a light on a candlestick in a dark, in a light in darkness, but shine upon us. Shine upon us, because thou art the light of the world. O dear Lord Jesus, do not leave us. Thou art our life, our hope, our salvation, our wisdom, our righteousness, and our holiness. Be with us in the coming week and keep us from sin and accidents. Break down the kingdom of Satan all over the world, and the kingdom of the Antichrist. O Lord, increase thy kingdom in every country, and revive thy true people and thy true servants, and shut them out of the liars and the false prophets. We pray thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Savior, and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen.